MMA Roasted is powered by BetOnline.ag. It's the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Support our podcast by making a wager on your pick by going to www.clnsmedia.com/winning and using promo code CLNS50 for 50% cash back on the first deposit. What's up, people? It's Adam Hunter. It's a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with V. Greg Wilson, Tyler Smith, my man, Joe the Kid Perez.
Yep.
Hope you guys are doing well. Everything's good. I had a rough day. The last couple days have been kind of up and down. Want to hear about the last couple days? Well, first I want to thank our sponsor, okay, Speedweed. Listen, marijuana is legal in California. Don't leave your house to get it. Don't leave your house. Why leave your house, okay?
Why?
Yes. They will deliver it right to you. They got marijuana. They got CBD. Me and my wife use this THC sex lube. Sex has never been better. I'm honestly, it's like, maybe I'm not doing it right and turning around as much as I fucking should be.
Stuff's usually better when you're a little high. So.
But also, just she's getting. I just put the thing on my penis. Next thing I know, I'm like the Ron Jeremy or not him, but like somebody. Yeah. The guy from Boogie Nights.
You do better. There you go.
Okay, yeah.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg, Dirk Diggler. All right.
So Dirk Diggler.
Yes. I was like Val Kilmer.
I can't think of that.
So I tell you guys, all right. So check it out. Go to speedweed.com at Speedweed. Mention MMA Roasted. You get $10 off $100 or more. Okay. Also, I want to tell you guys something about Nature's Oils Online. Listen, people, I got to talk to you about nature'soilsonline.com. Okay, because they are the best CBD you're gonna get. A lot of people are hesitant to try hemp-derived CBD oil because they just don't know where to start. There are so many different products and brands, hard to know which product's right for you, how much to take, when to take it, how to know if you're getting too much, all right? But this family-owned business, family-owned, you gotta support the families, okay? They not only provide the highest quality U.S.-grown hemp-derived CBD products, but they also give personal guidance on choosing the right product and finding a dose that works for you. Their hemp is grown in the U.S. without the use of pesticides and is mixed with organic MCT coconut oil. Each batch is third-party lab tested for potency and purity, and the results are posted on their website. They have a variety of products, including full-spectrum or whole-plant hemp oil extract, hemp-derived isolate tinctures, hemp and emu oil pain balm, which I need, and full-spectrum CBD dog chews. And when I tell you, I give this up to my dog is so much happier and friendlier and more relaxed, okay? All their products are available on www.naturesoilsonline.com and include free shipping within the continental U.S. Call them directly and ask questions at 469-525-3131 as a special offer for listeners of the show. Nature's Oils is offering a 10% discount of their already reasonable prices, okay? When calling out online or enter, mention discount code ADAM10 to get 10% off, okay? Check them out. It's Michelle and Christian, really nice people. Thank you. All right. So I had a ridiculous weekend, man. So I did a gig in Laughlin, right, on Friday.
It was stop right there. That's all you needed.
That's all you needed to say, bro.
Nothing ever good comes after Laughlin.
But I had a billboard in Laughlin. I had people told me, like, hey, I drove past a billboard. I'm like, wow. Like,
Full body shot, or just
two places
head?
I'm doing well: like Mongolia and Laughlin. All right, I can't walk down the streets of Mongolia. So,
was it a dick pic?
No, it's not a dick pic. So
that's the Mongolian one.
Yeah. No, man, those guys have some big dicks. All right, so anyway, so I had a big.
Interesting, you know that
Mongolia has Mongolia has the biggest. The hottest Asian girls I've ever seen in your life in Mongolia. Because, like, Genghis Khan back in the day, like, they only bred the hot ones and the athletes.
Right.
They're all like 6'2. Gorgeous with like British accents.
You know, that's true. The Mongolians are like known for their wrestling too.
Yeah.
Crazy wrestling.
I've only known one Mongolian. He was not handsome.
The women. I'm about the. Okay. Anyway, so.
The women.
Handsome women.
I got mad at the booker because he told me, because I had to do this like group text chat for the UFC. This thing take me a while, 15, 16, 18 hours, 20 hours. And then I got a last minute, I think in Laughlin, I had to drive 6 hours. So I'm like, hey, can I bring a a guest with me. You know, not a guest, a comic. I could do 5 minutes.
Sure, yeah, they open up for you.
The guy's like, well, I don't have control. And then he's like, you know what? All right, bring him. You know, I'll go on and you'll go on. Blah. So I like bring, and I know this guy forever. He's a friend of mine, the booker. So I drive down. We get there. He's like, right before the show, he goes, your friend can't go up. I go, but you said he could. I go, that's just the rules. He goes, I told you that it might not be. I go, trust me. So luckily I had the conversation on speaker on my nanny cam. So I went on my app and I'm like, here's you saying, you know, I don't want. So then I felt like shit for my friend. I still paid him out of my pocket, which I was going to do anyway. But it was just like a waste of him driving 6 hours to and from.
So he didn't get to go.
No, didn't get to go.
So the nanny cam evidence was of no avail.
No. And then we just drove
bullshit.
Back.
Why would you? I could have told you that.
What?
I mean, just because you're like, oh yeah, that is me saying it. I mean, that isn't. I mean.
Yeah.
You know.
So I felt terrible for my friend because I just feel like I.
Well, he drove a long time.
And he was going on like my word. So then I'm up till 5 o'clock in the morning and I get no sleep because I'm doing the text from last Friday, the group text chat for the UFC, and then I'm on this like cryptocurrency exchange where I have all these tokens. Because for Rockfin, I get paid out in crypto, and it's worked out great for me so far. But I'm not, I'm paying attention, but I'm like, it's like one of those things where you have to switch it to your token, and if you don't switch it, it like redirects back to the other token, to like Ether. So I put my token in the wrong wallet. And then they're gone.
Boy, I've done that before.
And
yeah. I think we all have. I think we all put our token in the wrong wallet.
But like,
point.
So I end up losing like
weekly.
17,
yeah.
So I end up just giving away 17,000 tokens, which could be worth right now. They're like at 25 cents. But if someone buys them,
right.
But in my mind, this token's going to be worth $10 million.
And right,
the asshole
right.
And gave them all
gave,
away.
Yeah.
Luckily, I still have an extra 80,000 of them. But I was
Thank God. Just
kicking myself all day long. About why did I, you know, hey, what was I thinking and this and that, I can't believe. Because the thing with crypto is once they're gone. It's not like a bank where, I accidentally deposited money in the wrong account. You call Chase or rest.
Right, somebody works it out. It's like, that shit's gone.
Even if you get robbed. Hey,
wait, so how is there even a way, if you're not selling it, you can just put it in the wrong place and it's gone?
Exactly. I just moved it over to the wrong. Right, I moved over the token to the wrong.
Sucks. So there are people that just have open wallets, hoping people.
No, it was my own wallet. I put it in my wallet on Coinbase, my wallet, but because it wasn't, it was the Ether wallet, and I was putting Ray tokens in the Ether wallet. They're gone. So if you put the,
you have to have one for you have to have a Bitcoin wallet and a whatever the other ones are wallet.
Right.
And
so if you put like Ether in the Bitcoin wallet.
And you just lose it.
Yeah, you lose it.
That's fucked.
Well, because they didn't have that kind of token on their exchange.
So what does that mean? What do they do with it? Do they translate it?
No, it's gone. It's gone forever. And
it's back in the internet.
So now I'm begging to this guy.
It sounds as stable as they say. The fact that you managed to pay out anything and get away with it is amazing.
Well, so far I'm like, you know.
You should take it all as a huge win, dude.
Well, I'm over like 50, 60 grand for the last couple months, but it's just like.
Poor you.
Well, I just don't. I hate just throwing money out. I hate throwing money out the window. It's just.
Everybody does.
Yeah, I feel you. It's yeah, just, but.
But this isn't actually
us more
money,
than most,
and there's
I think.
No actual window.
What?
I mean, you did nothing. You clicked into the clicker.
I know, but I'm just.
And listen, I know that I'm a late adopter on technology. Like, yeah. I need shit to stick before I decide, okay, I'm going to go ahead and pick this up now. I'm always the last person to move over. So.
But that's why you can make money right now on this.
Right, and lose
because
money
there's
apparently
so many
by just putting it
like
in the wrong wallet.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're putting the wrong currency in the wrong thing, and then you can't get it back. And then the whole thing, I'm talking to some guy in India, like, please, listen, I can see the money there.
Right,
it's there. It's in the wallet. You go, well, but they're like, once the exchange is final, No, if they actually sold that kind of currency, maybe I would get it back. But because that token had to be converted to Ethereum before it went over, that's the problem. It's like it has to go from one wallet to the trade to another wallet to cash out. And then you have to exchange it in like the middle one, and then cash.
This is actually highly educational.
I know I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot about crypto.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know anything. I mean, I read an article that was supposed to explain it to me, and it was a video. I watched a video. It was like explains it, in like 3 minutes. So I watched this 3 minute video, and at the end, I was like, I still don't know what the fuck they're talking about. It didn't do shit for me.
But the thing is, I talked to my guy, and he's like, oh, well, I could see your money there, so they should be able to reverse it. And then they were like, I talked to the guy, and he's like, well, can I talk to your supervisor? I talked to the guy's supervisor. Hey, well, we're talking to the people that do it. I'm like, well, can I talk to them? Oh, they can't talk. They only do email. No one even knows who like they are. Like, it's just like a crazy world where they don't want, anyway, where they don't want people knowing, like, who works there or where the money comes from.
Well, anonymity is what it's about. Yeah, you know? I mean, most of this is used to buy kiddie porn, so...
I don't think that's true. I'm not laughing.
It's fucking... I don't feel like I'm
pizza. There was a time where people were buying a lot of pizza with cryptocurrency.
Really?
Is pizza code for kiddie porn?
Oh. You could like, it was like the thing to do. It was like the only thing it was worth, and then it blew up.
I was just kicking myself. And my wife's like, all day long, I'm just like, fuck, why did I, all I had to do was take an extra second or extra minute to look at it and realize that was the wrong. But what are you going to do?
So I have a friend, this guy who comes to my show sometimes, and he's big into cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So he comes to my show the other week, and he's like, Greg, these two whatever coins, you got to get in on these now. I'm telling you, I've been watching the market. Blah, 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 I'm telling you, put it in there. Okay. Yeah. Now, I have no intention of actually doing this because I'm the guy, I'm the cooler. I'm the guy that if I put money on it, it's going to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. This is why, like, I wanted to bet on Ruiz.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted.
Right. No way, really?
Totally. I wanted to bet on the Toronto Raptors, who might close them out tonight. Like, I want, but I knew if I did, they would lose.
Yeah.
They only won because I didn't bet on them.
Yes. Yeah. That's it.
And so, with
that's
crypto,
totally it.
So the next day, I tell Summer, my wife, about this, my new wife. I tell her that about this guy. I was like, hey, you know, this guy was telling me like, we got to get in crypto. Maybe I'll just throw, you know, maybe like $1,000 or something like that. She goes, don't you dare. Don't you dare put any money into this, Greg. You have no idea what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, some idiot comes to your show and all this. Or she didn't call him an idiot, but So I'm like, I'm telling you, you told me this. She's like, don't you do it. Okay. So I'm like, okay, fine, I won't do it. So then I'm sitting there on the couch and watching whatever, and I'm like, let me just go on Coinbase. Let me just and as if she could feel it from the other room, she goes, don't you go invest in that money, Greg.
No
I'm like,
way.
I wasn't.
No way.
I'm not even joking. As I'm dialing up Coinbase, I'm like, don't do it. I can feel you doing it. And I just quickly shut it down and close the app, and that was it.
See, that's definitely the woman that you were supposed
she
to marry.
Knew,
yeah, that was the
I
one.
Was, she knew I was looking at it.
Hey, fucker.
And I was like, don't you do it.
I hate when my wife.
I got too quiet. I'm like a child.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I got too quiet, and she knew.
It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I hate when my wife's like, what are you thinking right now? And I tell her, and I'm like, I never should have told her that.
No, yeah, why?
The consumer, what are you thinking about? I don't know. Like, I shouldn't have done this or that. And I the TV show, and I got no idea. It's never like, I'm thinking about how to make you happier. Like, that's never the answer. It's always, I'm thinking about something.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, or nothing.
Right.
How can you be thinking about nothing? Very,
know,
very fucking
right
easily.
Now.
It's not that hard to do.
Yeah.
How are you doing? What's going on with you?
I mean, if you asked me, like, what I was thinking, like, any given time, I'd be going in jail, dude. It's either like. You're like, I'm thinking about stabbing this guy
Never
or choking
failed.
This guy or, you know.
Yeah.
I hate the way Tyler looks at me.
You only go to jail if you get caught, dude. You only go to jail if you get caught.
I mean, I'd get caught. Or just like sex or, you know, I'm never, you know, I'm a young dude. I'm never thinking about something good or positive.
Well,
it's always like something
thing.
Dirty
if
or nasty.
If someone were to ask me that, I'd be like, oh, that girl's ass we just drove by. Yep. Now that girl's ass. Now that girl's ass.
Yeah.
I also like.
Tits.
I also.
All the girls I didn't fuck for you. That's what I'm thinking about right now. You ever get out of a relationship and get mad about all the pussy you passed up for them?
Of course.
Yeah,
right?
Dude.
That's the way. And then you try and backtrack and that window's closed.
Oh, yeah. You try to call them back. Hey, what are you up to? And
Yeah, they're like, get the fuck out of here.
Who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I was going to something. Yeah, exactly. What's up with the girl with the condoms and the.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really learning to control my urges now because, you know, I got some heat for saying that, you know, I take my condom off right when I'm about to come so I can just like,
got
you know.
Got heat?
Yeah, I got some heat from the
some
fans.
Internet heat?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, really? Like people sending you DMs and stuff like, fucking
yeah,
idiot.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole.
So I'm really trying to control my urges. I'm trying to keep the condom on for the full duration of sex of love making.
Well, that is how condoms actually work.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like...
When you take them off, you've really just robbed yourself of the best part of not having...
But the problem is like, you can make a girlfriend come in like 2 minutes, and that's it. Then she's like, all right, I'm done. And then it's like, I'm wearing a condom myself and come. And so when you're wearing a condom and you're having sex, it takes forever to come. So I feel like I'm like doing... I feel like I'm an evil demon, like still humping her while she's like just looking at her watch and shit.
Well, if you're going to come without it anyway, why are you wearing it?
Welcome to being a man. It's all for her because she wants me to wear a condom.
For her peace of mind.
Yeah.
But then
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You weren't telling her you were taking it
off. No, you weren't here. You weren't here last week, and the girl we had on, who was an exotic dancer / fighter who won, got really mad at him because he asked her about this question.
I was asking her, like,
congratulations, little monster.
So, and I think the answer is, like, you know, you can't, if a girl thinks you're wearing a condom, and then next thing I know, you're like Houdini or David Blaine, and it's off.
Yeah.
You know, you just...
Are you still coming inside her?
No. I've never done that, a couple times, but yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What?
Wearing the condom at all. Like, if you're going to take it off...
Yeah, if you're pulling out anyway...
And then pull out anyway, then what the fuck is happening?
I'm also...
And you're going for too long, so, I mean, none of this
makes
sense.
Are you worried about you having diseases, or...?
No, not at all. The big problem is that I think she's the kind of girl that wouldn't get an abortion just because she's so afraid of what her parents would do. Because we're still very young, dude. But I'm like, yo, just fucking give me a hammer or something. I'll get that baby out of you, like, instantly.
Okay, not going to get any notes about that.
Yeah. Just give it. I don't give a fuck. Get an abortion. But she's like, no, we're keeping it.
A hammer?
Give me a spoon. Give me a fucking coconut. I'll get it out. Yeah, I'll get it out.
I don't approve.
A hammer?
Yeah.
That's not the way abortions work. You know that.
Think of it as an indelicate hanger.
No.
Yeah, that's what I meant. A hanger.
Indelicate hanger.
Yeah.
No hangers, no hammers.
No.
Look, if a girl gets pregnant, I agree that you should probably not have kids ever. Okay. Yeah. But maybe one day. But if you did get her pregnant, you would just your parents probably should know, but they don't have to know.
Yeah,
you could just go to Planned Parenthood.
But she might not, is what he's saying. She might be one of those girls that just couldn't do that. And there are some girls like that, and God bless you. You're welcome to make that if you're that type of girl. At least you know that about yourself.
But is she on the birth control pill?
No.
What, why not?
She's not. I don't know.
Did you ever ask her?
I actually don't want her to go on the birth control pill because I heard that it makes girls very, you know, less horny.
Have you ever had a girl have an abortion?
And it throws their hormones all crazy. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, that's a tricky question because what happened was I was living in New York. I was giving out flyers at Times Square, and then and there was this really pretty blonde hair girl.
Yeah, I'm telling you, stocked pod. Manhattan in the summertime, stocked.
Oh, especially you're giving out flyers.
The best ever.
I lived across the street from the comedy
club. Exactly, it's too easy.
As soon as a pretty girl would be looking up, like, what are we doing? Like, we got him into the comedy club. Yeah. And it was me, like, Dave Rubin, who's now this very
political
right-wing.
And gay,
yeah. Me, him, Melissa Rauch. It was all who's on Big Bang. It was all these people that, like, we would bring them into the, you know.
I know Melissa Rauch did comedy for like 6 months and then got the Big Bang Theory.
She had done it for a couple years.
Did she really?
Yeah. And then she had a one-person show. She did that very successful, where she was like the Bush sisters, anyway. So
interesting.
It made Montreal or something. Like it actually. Yeah. So anyway. This girl, I took her back to my place. She was an exotic dancer from Missouri.
And not that I have anything against her, by the way. I always thought she was super sweet.
Yeah.
I was just always jealous of the fact that she made me jump to like speed.
Fuck you, man.
I was just jealous of it. I wasn't. I always.
Yeah, but her jump was like.
And she was always super sweet. So
but
don't
she,
get me wrong,
yeah, but she, her like, jump was like nothing, nothing, nothing. Big Bang Theory. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
But it wasn't like
our jumps have been like nothing, nothing, something, nothing, 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 nothing. Like, come on.
So.
Ooh, here's a commercial.
So I got so.
And she got like, here's a $35 million TV job.
Yeah. So my girlfriend
and I...
forgive
me for being slightly...
At the time, my girlfriend and I had broken up for a couple weeks.
That's all you need.
Well, back then, we were on it was called a break.
Sure.
Let's go on a break, which is so stupid. A break. It's like, hey, we can go... Let's have a break so we can fuck other people and then get back together.
Yeah. You know what? I, at least, my girlfriends, and I don't know if I should be saying this, but... We talked about a break, not having a break, but like just what the definition of a break means, and they were two very different things.
Sure.
For me and
for
her.
For girls, it's just taking a time apart.
Yeah, like
other,
I don't want to see you for a little bit. Guys
it's
like
just like
break
a
what?
To reflect on each other and think about where we're going. Whereas we're like, so I got 5 days to fuck other bitches.
Wait, I can fuck other stuff? Okay.
Exactly.
All right, see.
That's what I always assumed it was.
No.
Whoops. All right.
It's supposed to be a reflecting time.
So I took this girl
back. Which I'm with you guys. I'm not. I just understand now.
Well, what's the point of having a break? I mean, you know, this looks like a yoga retreat, is what you're talking about. So I took her back to my
pretty
place.
Much.
And we ended up. I ended up having like doggy style sex. I lived in Times Square. It was just great, and I was pounding. And then the condom broke. Yeah. And then I just kept going. The condom breaks. It's like just keep going.
Definitely, totally, you know. Just going.
And then, you know, I say goodbye afterwards. You know, the next day or whatever it was. And then I had, you know, hi.
I gotta go hand out flyers, and you gotta get out of my apartment.
Yeah, we have a show at 10.
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend and I got back together.
Uh-oh.
We're back together. We're going strong.
Wow.
And then I get a phone call. Like, she's supposed to come. And I'm like, hey, listen, you can't come
that's
anymore.
Always a problem,
because,
right?
And I made up some lie. I was like, I like booked the soap opera part or something. You can't. Back then, I was on All My Children. I was like the waiter.
Sure, yeah.
So I was like, you can't come. And she's like, well, I'm pregnant. And I was like, and it's yours. And I was like, oh, my God. So I was like, all right.
Mind, you're like, that's entirely possible because I fucked you with the condom broke.
Yeah.
Did
maybe.
She know the condom broke?
Yeah.
I think they
pregnant.
Yeah,
I think
right.
She became very aware of the fact that
wait,
the condom
wait
broke.
A minute.
I think I'm pretty sure. Yeah, she knew. I think we might have even banged again after that. So, so then I was like, all right. So I flew her in for the abortion. We're gonna have an abortion, and then. I wasn't going to chance
What kind of flowers and card do you show up with for that?
Did you at least get her a first class ticket?
Well, no, you know he didn't. He got her fucking Spirit Airlines.
It wasn't Spirit back then. It was
right.
Like, it was
they didn't exist.
Yeah, maybe it was like, it was Amtrak Air.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So then, and then I told my girlfriend, hey, I got to tell you something. I told her I got a girl pregnant. And she's my girlfriend, like, flipped on me, like, oh my God, you know,
you're
I can't
such
believe.
An idiot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So then the girl was staying with me for the while she was in New York, and I thought my girlfriend was going to dump me. It was girl Mia at the time. I'm like, why wouldn't she? But her friends were on my side for some odd reason because we were technically
on
a break.
He's honest. He's such a good guy.
He's so honest with you. He's too cute.
But I figured she was going to dump me anyway. So then that.
Totally.
So then the night before. We just got the abortion. She gave me a blowjob. Anyway, so then, I told my girlfriend that too. Anyway, so then I ended up going to the Planned Parenthood with her, and it was back then. It was like an 8-hour procedure. You're sitting there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was just the worst. So I mean, I saw a movie because what else? You know, 8 hours. So then,
I don't think the procedure's 8 hours. I think they sedate you maybe, and they have to wait until it wears off and like make sure you're not bleeding and shit.
Yeah.
And I think it's more like follow up before they.
I remember
let you
I saw the movie Quills. Quills was playing. I wanted to go see Quills.
What a great choice on an abortion afternoon.
Abortion day. Let's go see Quills.
What's a good movie? I don't know. Period piece maybe.
So that was the only thing playing. And then
it must have been.
But then she went home, and then actually my girlfriend got back with me. She didn't break up with me, which then I started to question her judgment.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But I'm not sure if that baby was my baby, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I think I may have paid for someone else's abortion.
How much is an abortion?
Was like $350 back then.
$350?
Yeah.
But see, if it wasn't yours,
it's not that expensive.
Why would she come all the way back to New York to do it with, you know what I mean?
Just the timeline didn't make sense. And
maybe she couldn't get the other guy to pay for it, so she's like, let's just try this guy.
And then a couple months later, she said that she was still pregnant because she was pregnant with twins, and they only got one of the...
Oh, my God.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
That sounds like bullshit.
Which I don't even think that...
It sounds like she went shopping for 8 hours with her three
kids. No, because I was...
into it, she's just looking out. Like,
no, because I was there.
Okay.
No, because I was there.
What, did you hold the vacuum?
No, I was there when she was the Planned Parenthood. She got an abortion. I mean, they, you know...
So that
but,
did happen.
Or did she just go into the office and hang out? And
I don't
tell
know.
The
that's
boss,
what
like,
I'm saying.
Look, I'll cut you into this
exactly.
good 350 if you just go out there and act like you just killed an infant.
Yeah.
It was... Gee, well, that's kind of a dark way to put it. But, yeah, anyway.
Dark way to put it.
But she, you know.
Is it or is it tissue?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really... I was 21 years old. I was like 21, 22. That was a rough moment in my life. Jeez, that was a tough. Aren't you happy you asked that question?
Totally. That really took a while. I'm surprised.
All right, so
I was just wondering, you know,
good old abortion talk on MMA Roasted.
Have you had to go get one?
No, I haven't. Someone very close to me has had an abortion. I'm not going to say who, but.
Good. Yeah.
They definitely
Greg sitting right here?
They did regret. Oh. Yeah. Greg's the failed
very
abortion.
Close, yeah. I kept all the baby weight though. It's terrible.
They did say they regretted it though.
Really?
They regretted it afterwards. Yeah. I think that's a like you know it's like
it's probably a common
you're
thing.
Losing part of part of like you could have had this kid or you could have been a parent and it didn't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, I think there's regret on either side of that coin.
Yeah.
So. Oh, for sure. For sure. Imagine having to raise it.
That's what I'm saying. That would have been a lot more regret. Like every day, like, I'm sorry, I should have waited.
Something I don't regret is watching UFC 238.
Oh my God.
All right. So, Caitlin Shukagan, Joanne Calderwood, tough fight to score.
Calderwood, listen, I was thinking, Calderwood threw her hands up as if she definitively won her at the end. I'm like, I don't know that she definitively won that sucker just then. Like, I was like, I don't think that, you know, her little theatric, you know, can I tell you this? I was proud of the judges for not getting caught up in her little theatrics at the end. Like, oh, she's dominating. Because she really had it.
Oh, the whole, like, the breakdancing and stuff. Whole, yeah.
Like, I got you. I beat you. And I'm like, you didn't really beat her.
Right.
Yeah.
To be showboating like this as if you have nothing left to, you know, like you've done it, it's in the bag kind of thing.
Wasn't that so strange? Because it's kind of out of character for her, right?
That was the other thing.
I can't wait to fight this weekend.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm dating John Wood.
What's crazy about John Wood, man? Look, I'm good friends with John Wood. I like John Wood a lot. But this is a guy that dated Amber. We talked about this. The ring car girl.
Oh, good for him.
Who, like, when they broke up, she put all his stuff, had a fire sale, and was selling his couches and this and that.
Nice.
And then Mike Pyle called him up, who's his best friend, like, hey, they're selling your stuff right now on Facebook. He's like, well, do something. He's like, I did. I bought your couch. And he said he still has some of his
stuff. Dude, that's a fucking best friend. That's really? A best friend. Hell yes. Are you kidding? If my buddy was getting divorced and his wife started selling his shit, I would buy all of it.
Yeah, but
and
he
hold
wasn't
it over
buying
him
it for
forever.
Him, though. He bought
it for himself. Yeah. He kept it, yeah.
That's like, what I'm saying. I would buy all of it and be like, I have your shit, dude.
That's a Mike Pyle. And I love Mike Pyle, like a redneck Tennessee thing to do. Like, hey, I got your stuff.
Yeah.
Mike Pyle's first fight was against Rampage. First fight ever, Rampage Jack, and Rampage like threw him out of the cage, and then he walked.
Yeah.
And then he walked back in, and it was he won the unanimous decision. All right, Eddie Wineland, there's a guy who
Eddie Wineland
a couple of years ago, my guy, I think he might be kind of losing it, he might be kind of shot, and now I don't know if he just hates Asian people or what, but he looked amazing.
He's come back with a vengeance,
and he's going to be on the podcast this week on Rockfin. You can see here,
awesome
exclusive. Content with him.
Yes, help Adam earn another 17,000 tokens.
Darren Stewart.
So he can lose them.
Whoa, that hurts. That really. Just like you lost your fight. All right, so anyway, Darren's. I'm kidding.
There it is. Wait on that.
If you're gonna burn hard.
I knew he would laugh. Darren Stewart, the dentist, versus Bevan Lewis. Bevan's a guy that, like, he looks like Tyron Woodley. As soon as people say he's worked a lot on his cardio, I know that his cardio is going to suck. as soon as they say,
oh, he's been doing a lot of running, getting in the pool. Like,
yeah, I feel like as soon as you think your cardio is a problem, even just the thought of it, it's like you're fucked.
Yeah,
it's all you're thinking about is not gassing out.
Yep.
Angela Hill, that was a close fight to score too.
I didn't see that one.
I didn't either.
Which when I did the text from last fight, I wrote a joke that she's come a long way since her loss to Cron Gracie, which was Bruce Leroy, because they kind of.
Right.
And then people were like, "That's fucked up," blah blah. And I called her, and I'm like, "Hey, are you?" She's like, "No, that's hilarious. That's great."
Yeah.
People are so stupid.
Everyone now is offended on behalf of people who are
on
not
behalf
offended.
Of other people. I don't fucking get it, man. Like,
I'm outraged that you said that. Like, people just—it's.
And now there are
all
people.
It's
not
there.
Fair.
And there and now
everyone's such a hater. Like, can anybody just be cool?
And there are a couple accounts right now that go after me. Like, because I did a joke about
there are accounts that go after.
No, there are guys that are writers for like certain big websites. But, you know, like they write for like kind of the
left-wing
websites, like the Deadspins and those
Young Turks.
Yeah, the Young Turks, right?
Right.
So and you know, I wrote a joke about. I said all. 7 of Tony Ferguson's personalities have great cardio, right? Like, that was just, like, just a great joke. I mean, he obviously is going through some stuff.
Right.
And I said, you know, and then someone wrote back, you hack, making fun of mental illness, like fuck you. And I was like, this guy wants me to respond.
Yeah,
I'm,
of course.
I'm not,
they just don't.
I'm not going to.
Yes, don't even bother.
They're just angry that other people retweet me or other people find me funny. And if you don't find me funny, fine.
But that's it.
Right.
Move on.
Right.
I never went after a comic for a joke, ever.
Yeah.
And so I just...
As you
guy,
shouldn't.
And the guy kept going, so I finally blocked him. I'm like, all right, now you can't see what I'm writing. Right, you've lost that privilege.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, what kind of comic blocks another guy? One that doesn't want to be annoyed because...
Yeah,
one that doesn't want to deal with bullshit all day.
I tell my wife, I still have that problem of like, I have 100 people in a room and 99 people are laughing. One person walks out. It's the one guy that I'm like, oh, man, yeah, but fuck it, why didn't I make him laugh? Like, wrestling, I won over 100 matches. I lost five. I know every single person that fucking... I know every girl that didn't hook up with me, but I forgot most that did. You know, it's just like, it's just... And so that one guy was, I'm in my fucking mind, and he shouldn't be, and not the 100 people that were like, oh, man, thank you.
But, and then that throws you off.
Yeah.
So now you're off the rest of the
day. Well, now I'm mad that I'm mad. Now I'm angry that I'm even angry about it, you know? But the more success I get, the more this shit's going to keep happening. So I got to just learn to fucking roll with it.
Yeah, I don't...
Or just ignore... Fucking ignore it, man.
I'm learning to hate social media entirely.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
We don't need...
Well, you had it huge when that fucking...
We have clearly proven an inability to handle this power correctly.
Well, you had a big one, fucking. Remember that America's Got Talent? That guy accused you of taking a joke, and then all of a sudden, all these comics are coming after you. And I'm like, this motherfucker, like Greg Wilson, works harder than anybody. He's a hard worker. He's been doing it 20 years in the trenches.
More than
like you've been crushing consistently for 20 years.
Well, that's what ultimately saved me was so many people. More people defended me than attacked me. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's still a stain on my career.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that mob mentality. Like, people just rush to judgment.
Right.
And they're like, and then I went at my own volition, at my own expense, went and took a polygraph test to prove that I'd never seen the guy, passed a polygraph test, published that, but then nobody gave a fuck.
No, and no one ever apologizes.
Exactly. No one ever was like, you know what, you're right. Like, here I took an extraordinary measure that I don't believe any comedian had ever done.
No.
To try to definitively prove beyond a shadow of a doubt I never saw this motherfucker. And did anybody care about that? No.
Yeah.
The only thing they bring up is when I was accused of stealing a joke. But that's why that footage never aired. That's why nothing ever came of it. Because I gave them a fucking polygraph test.
And I know that guy that accused you. That guy, I worked with that guy. That guy should know better. It's like what? I don't know. I just, to me,
well,
it's...
Well, the bits are really similar, and I understand that.
But whenever I see a comic that has the same bit as mine, I go, hey,
but
man.
But he should have come to me and been like, dude, that's my fucking bit. I'd be like, dude, I never saw you. He would have been unhappy with my response no matter what, especially because I did incredibly fucking well on the show.
That's what really bothers people.
That's what's really upsetting is that, I mean, I don't think a comedian can do better than I did on that show. The performance, the way the audience, I mean, they were and that's what drove him crazy, I was dominating in an incredible way. The audience, they didn't just give me a standing ovation, they jumped to their feet. And the place was exploding. So he was losing his mind because he thought I was doing it with his bit. So part of me understands where he was coming from, but he absolutely handled it inappropriately. And
you know what?
It's unfortunate that he stole that opportunity from me.
But you know what? The more like hate I get, the more I give some people I've been giving these like Amy Schumers and like these people like a lot of credit for being able to just roll with it. The Chelsea Handlers, because they get attacked. Like voraciously
hourly, dude.
By everybody.
I know, and I'm like, this is why I don't want to be famous, because this is what fame is now.
Yeah.
But fame is being a target all the time.
I mean, Dane Cook, and I wonder, if I had their money, maybe I wouldn't give a fuck either.
Right.
But I don't know about if that's even true.
I don't think so, because at the end of the day, like, they're still a person, you know? So you're still going to handle whatever emotional shit comes up with you is coming up with everybody else, too.
It's crazy. Well,
they might not show it as much, but... Yeah. They're still feeling it.
Yeah.
I guarantee that.
I know. Calvin Guitar beat Ricardo Lamas.
Woo.
That was he's looking really good, Calvin Guitar.
His hands are nasty.
Yeah.
He knocked his last guy out with the same exact 1-2. Little hop in 1-2 and it just drops him.
I felt and Lamas so is from Chicago. Fast.
Oh yeah, Lamas got knocked the fuck out, huh?
Yeah. He got
That's right. I remember seeing that one. Yeah,
pretty bad.
Now, what do you think about Rogan when Angela Hill was fighting, was basically coaching Angela Hill on the triangle?
She
had her in a triangle. He's like, well, no, she's not going to get the win unless she pulls her head down, takes her left hand, put it across. I'm like, and people were like, Joe, I think you might be helping her out a little bit here. But can you hear people?
No.
You can't?
You cannot hear shit. You can barely hear your own coaches.
Okay.
You have to be listening for your coaches. You're not hearing a comp. If think about us right now. This is how loud Joe Rogan's talking.
Yeah.
She's not hearing any of that.
Right.
You know, he's talking into a mic. He has headphones on. Like, he's not trying to scream to somebody in the fucking octagon instructions.
Because you have to scream.
And also he's not their coach.
That's like white belt level shit, too. That's not like some advanced
It doesn't matter. I'm sure, as this guy knows, a lot of times when you're in there, like, I've seen extreme black belts, like, just do things that they just...
Oh, yeah.
Not... correctly, because it's under the lights, you're getting punched, you're getting...
or you're just not fit. You're thinking about one thing. Like, by all accounts, when my fight went to the ground, I should have had a sweep within 10 seconds and been on top. Like, if it was normal jiu-jitsu, that would have happened. But all I was concerned about was not getting hit.
Remember, so
it was
when,
like,
GSP...
full guard, hold full guard, fuck it. It didn't matter what my coaches were saying. Like, I'm not letting this guy go. Yeah. Like, fuck you.
Do you remember,
hit me in the face, guys.
I don't fucking get hit right now.
Remember when GSP was fighting Dan Hardy and he had him at, like, in that arm bar, his arm was off.
Yeah.
But he was not doing something right. He was not getting it.
It looked like he was doing everything right to me. Dan Hardy just has...
That was one of the crazy...
his body's made of rubber.
Dude, I used to go to Legends, right? And all of a sudden, it was like... They were like, hey, you work with him. And they told me to work with Dan Hardy, a guy with a mohawk and wrestling,
awesome.
Right?
Awesome.
Dude, he was like... Not to pat myself on the back, but I was like throwing him around and wrestling. He had like... Wrestling was like not good.
Yeah.
I mean, he got so much better. To his credit, he kept seeking me out every time. Practice. And like...
Nice.
And then, this is before he was in the UFC. He was in Cage Warriors. And then he makes the UFC, and I'm like, fuck, maybe I should go to the UFC. Like, but I didn't realize how good he was at everything else.
Yeah.
I never seen him do Muay Thai.
Oh, yeah.
And then my friend Connor was like, I wouldn't want to fight that guy. And I'm like, Connor, what are you talking about? I think you would kill him. He goes, no, you don't understand. And then when I saw him, I'm just putting guys out. But the thing about Dan Hardy is, number one, he got so much better. But also, jiu-jitsu, he was doing the same thing. He was like getting tapped. He was a white belt. But he was seeking out black belts and getting tapped 30 times
over,
in practice.
Over and over
with
again.
With no ego. I mean, that's, to me...
That's a student of the game. That's a real, like, martial artist. A real, like, he wants to know what's going to get him a loss.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen.
And let me ask you something. You know? How much of making it to an elite level of actually being a professional fighter has to do with your ability to withstand pain?
A lot.
Does it? I mean, because it seems like these guys shrug off these incredible punches to the jaw, these arm bars that anybody else would be fucking losing their mind crying. Like, I mean, they manage to withstand incredible, but like when they hit the shin on a guy's knee, and that's at the beginning of the fight.
Right.
You know,
and I'm hitting my shin on, and I'm done. I'm like, you know.
I think a lot of times, though, it's that pain comes like the day after.
It's later.
It's adrenaline.
Pain comes later. You'll feel like an impact, and then it gets warm and kind of numb, but it doesn't hurt. But you know, like, okay something's fucked
really
up.
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, because your body is pumping adrenaline, right? So that just covers all pain until it goes off.
Like, wear out over the course.
Yeah.
Of
it'll
fight?
Wear. Yeah. So it'll wear off. Like later in the rounds, even like you might start to feel stuff, but in the first couple minutes after hit, unless it's just like insanely hard. Like, even getting punched in the face, it's just a kind of weird, warm feeling.
Because, like, Jimmy Rivera, like, that knee moved his nose to the other side of his fucking face.
Right.
And I just feel like that's superhuman pain, man. Like,
my favorite, though, is when I see somebody, like, punch somebody as hard as they can and the person doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be me. Like,
demoralized.
Like, I probably have no like actual real skill except for the ability to take a punch. Like,
well, that seems to be a huge skill. That's what I'm saying. Like, well, that seems to be a huge, like, if you can withstand the pain, that's a big part of it.
I think it's more than like the physicality of withstanding the pain. It's keeping your mind disciplined to like not react to
it.
Right. So it's not like, oh, this doesn't hurt or oh, this hurts too much. It's more like, if you get rocked, for example, like, okay, am I going to get into my own head or am I going to step back, take a breath, make sure I'm doing all the right things?
Yeah.
And that's more, I think these guys like guys like Vince, who just like, they get hit and you fucking walk through it. And it's like, it doesn't matter. You know, like for me, I got tagged and got rocked and it was like, oh shit, this guy's gonna knock me out. What do I do? What do I do?
By the way, you're getting a lot of fans on the podcast. By the way,
yeah,
on awesome. iTunes, people are like more Tyler Smith. More. I think it might be your mom writing that, but I'm telling
it probably
you,
is. It's my mom and my girlfriend. Oh, we love him.
No, wonderful. Honestly, a lot of people want to follow you on Twitter too, but you're not on Twitter.
I like never use my Twitter.
People are saying, how do I find Tyler Smith? They're hitting me up. Where's Tyler Smith?
Smithero39, Smithero39. But yeah, it's keeping that, like, you're not worrying about what may happen or what the judges are thinking or, oh, I have to win this round now. This guy's beating me. It's just keep doing, like,
and some people are just so damn tough.
Keep doing,
like,
what you're going to
do. Like Renzo Gracie, remember when he got his arm broken?
Yeah.
And kept fighting?
Right, this is what I'm saying. That toughness, that ability to manage the pain.
A lot
because
of
I've seen fighters that you could tell they were in real pain.
A lot of his wrestling,
and it was
though,
clearly,
man.
I remember these two guys, they both went for a low kick at the same time. They went shin to shin. Crack. And it was a crack, crack. And I've never seen two guys both visibly try to swallow the pain unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
Like these two motherfuckers.
But a lot of these people, Greg,
like their eyes like...
a lot of these people
bad.
Also, like, college wrestling, when you, like... you're in that room for like 2 hours getting the shit beaten out of you by the toughest guys and, like, you know, the toughest wrestlers. Could you get to high school? High school, you could be like me. I was like the best guy. Best guy in the room for a long time, right?
Right.
Then you get to college and you're with every best guy. And like, that was D3. So D1, you're now with the best guy in this state, the best guy in that state, the best guy in that state. And then they're just... You're waking up at 6 in the morning and doing practice. And then you got another practice at like 7 in the afternoon. And practice at night before you go to bed sometimes. And it's just, and these guys are doing it since they were 5 years old.
Yeah.
So they just, their necks are so fucking strong from wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
They can a lot of times absorb punches.
But also, you have to admit, in high school, every year there was one guy in a neck brace from the wrestling team every year. And he's a you know, very jacked guy and everything, but that fucking neck was in a brace. They had the crown of the head holding it still and shit.
That never happened in every high school.
Well, I went to very
every
large,
high school Greg went
I
to.
I went to very large high schools. They all had like well over 1,000 students. So every single year there was one guy from the wrestling team in a fucking neck brace or worse. Every year.
There was that kid last year who broke his leg, remember?
Oh God.
This little cute Iranian kid, like just the sweetest kid ever. Just did like something weird and then he was in like I never heard anybody scream.
Yeah.
And I was trying to make him laugh because I'm like, hey, you're doing good. You're so tough. You're gonna get a girlfriend. Cause I don't know, I'm just trying to get his mind off. But this kid was like tears. Thank God his dad was like an Iranian national champ wrestler, so he didn't flip out. He was like, oh, it's okay.
He just walked over. He's like, you're fine. You're
and
fine.
He saw what happened.
You're okay.
But like, ambulance showed up. He
broke his femur.
He broke his femur.
Oh,
broke his
God.
Femur in the wrestling room.
Yeah. Which is
I still don't know how it happened. Like I can't even picture.
I'll tell you how it happened. The child has no interest in being a wrestler, and his dad is like, "You got to be a wrestler." He's like, "But dad, I just want to paint. I just want to dance." He's like, "No, you're a wrestler."
There is some truth to that.
And then the kid gets in there and gets his fucking femur broken.
Yeah, that's kind of what.
The dad can't accept that his son's not the wrestler he was.
I actually called the kid on Christmas Eve to wish him Merry Christmas. I felt so bad for that kid. He was such a sweetheart of a kid.
He was like, "What this Christmas?"
Yeah, I'm like, "Hey, so."
I called him on Ramadan.
I was like, "I'm like, all right." I'm like,
a Christian holiday.
I'm like, "We're gonna see you next year, right?" He's like, "Absolutely not." Like,
no, the kid probably scored the bone in his van
after his parents.
He's like, "What will it take to get me the fuck out of this from my dad? I know, break my femur."
Right.
Yeah.
His parents
so
probably
horrible.
Got the bill and decided
he might.
Not,
he
really
was my dad,
but
we do have kids like that where. Like, we had a kid that was crying before every practice, before every match, always crying. And then I go to the ref. I'm like, just so you know, the kid's going to cry in about 3 seconds. I look over. He's crying before the match even started. And like, he just did not want to be there. Yeah. But his dad was, like, making him do it to toughen him up.
Well, his dad wants to toughen him up. Exactly. Yeah.
But the problem is that dad's way too long.
But not that not that way. Like, especially if you're not a fucking wrestler guy, like, don't make your kid...
Yeah,
wrestler and think, exactly. Oh, we're practicing these moves at
not
home.
Not every kid was born to be tough. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way it is.
At the same time, there's not been one kid I've ever coached in my 13 years of coaching that's ever regretted wrestling.
Right.
Like, never a kid would go, I wish I hated it. Even if they didn't like it.
Even if you hate, especially when you hated it. That's
I feel
when
like the femur kid. I bring regret it just a little bit.
Yeah, we had one kid
he
that
might
like,
have some regrets.
We had one kid that like I don't know if he's gay or not, but like let's just say he.
Let's just say he's flamboyant.
Let's just say he got hard every time.
How do I say this without offending everybody? But like, I would say gay traits, but he just seemed very
feminine.
Maybe he's
feminine. Flamboyant. Yeah, he's
maybe
feminine.
Musical theater was more his thing. You know,
and you should have been allowed to go do musical theater.
But he one time he was like, "Oh my god!" I run over. I'm like, "Are you okay?" He's like, "There's an ant," and I'm like, "All right, dude. Like, we have to."
But you know what? Maybe it's good for him to learn to wrestle because he's going to get picked on because he's flamboyant.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
There is something to that too, you know? I mean...
Right. Listen, musical theater nerds, if you're out there listening,
you know,
start training. And then when people make fun of you, you can beat the shit out of them.
My dad gave us some boxing gloves and was like, have at it, boys. And I had to fight my brothers every fucking day.
Really?
Yeah.
They're older than you or younger?
Yeah, older.
Who won?
Always my older brother, Mark. But I would sit there. That's the thing is, no one coached us. So we would just trade.
Yeah.
We were just trading until one gave up. And I was like, one day I'm going to outlast you. But then every time he'd get one, I'm like, that's it.
Well, one of the funniest, remember me and him were
out. He always managed to outlast me every fucking time. And it got to the point where finally my mom was like, no more boxing. Why did he give you these fucking gloves? And she took the gloves. But this is after like 2 years of me getting
2 years
face
of brain damage.
Me and Greg were at a bar one time watching Bubba Jenkins was fighting.
Yeah,
he won. He fought that Asian guy or
he kicked him that head kick, sent him wild.
Jordan Parsons, rest in peace, right. Jordan Parsons, and he ended up. Greg was like going crazy. I think he had just done.
I was very excited.
He just had a line of blow.
Might have been doing blow.
And I was like,
sweet, sweet Stroud.
Sweet, sweet Stroud.
I was showing people on Periscope.
That's like a real thing. Like people bring it up quite a bit.
So then he goes. There was a guy that was like, shut up, quiet down. And like Greg's like, all right, I'm gonna hit him. I'm gonna hit him. I'm like, he goes, look at his nose. It looks it looks so breakable.
It was dying to be punched. I'm like, someone with your nose.
That nose has never been punched.
I mean, I was like, someone with your nose should not be fucking running this because you have an incredibly punchable, breakable nose.
Yeah.
And I was just, I wanted to hit it so fucking bad.
Yeah, but he was also like, you got my back, right? I'm like, Greg, I do, but this is probably not. I don't want to get thrown out of this fucking.
It's the worst
bar.
When your friends are like, "Oh, you fucking fight! Oh. We're gonna kick this guy's ass!" Like, you can. By all means, go fight him. I'm not doing anything.
I was gonna go.
Yeah. What's up, people? It's another huge month in sports across the NBA and NCAA. There's only one place to get in all the action. That's BetOnline.ag. Support our podcast by going to www.clnsmedia.com/winning and use the promo code CLNS50 for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's CLNS50. BetOnline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. This week, it's Golden State versus Toronto in the NBA, and then in hockey, it's St. Louis versus Boston. And with plenty of excitement and drama happening on and off the court, you don't want to be left on the sidelines. Go where the action is at betonline.ag. Go there now. Yes, go where the action is because CLNS Media and BOL are offering you a 50% sign-on bonus. That's 50% by signing up at clnsmedia.com/winning and using our code CLNS50 with your first deposit. Yes, go to clnsmedia.com/winning. Use promo code CLNS50 for your 50% sign-on bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. That's true. Although you're one of the guys, though, if I ever had a fight, I would want you to have that back because you're a guy that will fight to like
for sure.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll do it. But like,
yeah, do you see that?
It's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot for me to fight in the street.
And all of a sudden, some other guy stands up that I don't realize is his buddy.
I always
that I'm not, you know, going to get attacked from behind or something.
I always got your back. But there was a, you said that thing with Zab Judah the other day? There was an internet troll that was like, Zab Judah, you suck or something. And they recorded Judah showing up to the guy's work and going, and like, hey, man, let's go outside for 5 minutes. You said you could kick my ass. Like, let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on Twitter right now. And the guy's like, I'm at work. I can't get off work or something.
My boss is a total asshole, man. He won't let me go out and fight you.
That's what all of Twitter is.
That's one of my biggest fears, though, is that like a UFC heavyweight was like, hey, remember when you said that I have
I could wear a size 4.
That's different, though. That's different. I feel like they should know.
Yeah. I never once said I can kick anyone's ass.
Exactly.
But I was thinking, like, what would I do if someone had a camera?
Fucking run.
But, like, let's say Ben Rothwell shows up or some fucking guy that I, you know, I go, hey, man, you make fun of me. I'm like, well, I go out there. I lose, but you lose to Ben Rothwell. Like, there's no...
Right.
I'm throwing one punch, and it's at the camera. If this is going down, there's going to be no fucking tape.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Smart. That's smart move.
I'm going to lose, but no one's going to see this.
But what if you actually land that one lucky punch and then knock out, like, the heavyweight champ of the world or something?
You cholo swing him?
Yeah, something happens.
What if you just kick him right in the nuts?
It's a street fight.
I'm sorry. If a UFC heavyweight is trying to fight me in the street, he's getting kicked in the nuts fast.
I'm opening with eye gouges.
You're like, oh, you want to fight?
And I'm
you
want to pop? And I'm closing with a groin kick. Okay, we're going Krav Maga. Okay?
Back to back.
There ain't no time for technique here.
Dude. Well, they say the best defense in a street fight is just, you know, get naked. Just immediately get naked. Just nobody's gonna fight a naked dude with a dick swinging out. Or mine will just be like hanging there, not really swinging.
Smart move.
You know, they say your best defense in jail is to shit yourself.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Hey, smart. Smart, smart.
Who says this?
A friend of mine who was in jail and had to shit himself.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, you know.
Like, apparently it's one of those things they tell you in jail.
Yeah.
Like if you have to get away, look for a mid-90s Honda. Same thing.
What if you don't have to shit? Then what are you going to do? What are you
beating? You like your body will make your one.
Yeah, yeah.
If the moment's
the
right.
Nervous, yeah. There's always extra feces in the nervous situations. Think, yeah, it's always
exactly.
There.
Exactly. Whenever you get
it's
nervous,
on it's that reserve
shit.
Tank, you know? Yeah. It's like, oh, we're about to fight. No, shit your pants.
I used to shit before like wrestling matches all the time.
Yeah,
there you go.
Wrestling matches going on stage. Like
I shit
your first,
my pants a couple times.
Yeah. First couple years first doing stand up, right? It's like, fuck, I gotta shit.
My improv troupe called it taking a Wilson because I had to shit before every show.
Dude,
then they would be like, oh, I gotta go take a Wilson.
Dude, oh boy.
I obviously, people that know, listen to podcasts, they know I suffer from OCD. And what, you know, what OCD is, remember that DirecTV commercial that used to be like, if you, you know, don't you get DirecTV, then you're going to walk across the street and then a boulder is going to fall and then this.
Oh, right, 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 right,
right. Right, right.
Next thing you know, you cause World War II. That's kind of what happens. And if you have OCD, it's like, oh my God, I didn't lock the door. I did lock the door. I don't lock the door. Fuck, someone's going to break into the house and kill my wife. And I'm going to be single. And then I'm going to have this. And then I'm going to lose everything. And then my kid's going to get taken away from me. Before you know it, like, you didn't lock a door and you just destroyed it. That's how...
Maybe I have OCD.
So...
That's how I think.
I think you're just Jewish.
Well,
I think there's a...
Oh,
there's,
no, I didn't lock the door.
There's a dash of Jewish in here, trust me.
So with me, it was like, I would always think that my ass, like, I wasn't fully wiped. Like, I constantly had a little shit.
We dog. Yeah.
I'm the polar opposite, but I know that, you know.
So,
I'm the polar opposite. I like a little mudslide as I'm walking around.
So whenever I used to have girl, I take in college. And
did I wipe too much?
In college, even now, like, I would take a girl back, or my wife sometimes, like, she's ready to have sex. And I'm like, fuck, what if my ass isn't fully clean? And then, like, I have to go to the bathroom and just wipe my ass, like, for, like, 20 minutes where the girl's like, what are you doing in there? And then I'm... And then
did you keep, like, baby wipes or would you go straight, like, dry
straight.
Pit?
And then I would... And then I'd be like, come oh, on, shit, man. Now I got shit on my hand. What if I got shit on my hand? And I'd scrub my hands for fucking... Before you know it, the girl's sleeping or, like, just... I come to
the bathroom for 45 minutes to make sure there's no shit on her.
Some other guy's in there fucking her. Like, it's just like...
oh, missed the window.
Completely ruined it. So, yeah, that's... anyway.
One time I spent the night with this chick, and in the morning I had to take a huge shit. So I go in the bathroom, but she had one of those bathrooms. We decided, we were like, hey, let's go get brunch or whatever. And I'm like, great, let me go to the restroom. But she had one of those bathrooms where there was like a hotel bathroom to where like the sink and mirror were in one section. And then there was another door to the toilet and shower. So I'm sitting on the toilet and her and her girlfriend roommate decide, hey, let's go in here and do our makeup. And fucking,
oh, no.
Yeah. So they're on that side of the, like right on the other side
like
of the door.
Like 2 feet away.
Hanging out. And I'm like trying to like do that
the quiet
totally
like,
the and it kept getting away from and I'm like I couldn't let it fully rip because I knew it was gonna stink.
It's the
I knew
worst.
It was gonna be loud. So I sit there and I'm waiting for them to fucking leave. And finally they're like, are you okay in there? Because I was in there for so long. I'm like, you won't fucking leave. What do you want me to do? So I'm like, I'm fine. And I just get up. I get out there. I was in such pain. I was in such anal pain. I had to, like, they were like, are we going?
It's
like,
so unsatisfying.
I'm like, I have to go home. And I just went home. So
even if you had gotten it out, so unsatisfying. I might as well not even have taken shit.
My toilet overflowed the other day. It was the nanny. I'm in the Comedy Store doing the podcast, Daddy Issues, which came out today with Dean McDermott and me and Nikki Paris. And
why
all of a sudden,
Nikki Paris?
He needs a daddy.
He needs a daddy.
So then I get a call from the nanny saying, hey, your toilet over flooding everywhere. I'm like, great. So then I got to call the plumber. So I get home and she tried to mop it up, but my wife's like, what happened? I'm like, I wasn't here. She's like, what do you mean? What happened? Why is this happening? Okay, here's what happened. That morning, I took a giant dump. Nice. She's like, you could have left that part out. I'm like, no, you want to know.
This is what happened. This is what you pressed. I tried to edit. You're like, I need to. Now you know.
I clogged the toilet.
Speaking of giant dumps, Carol did a Kowal kit.
Heyo.
Koval. Beautiful girl, by the way. Alexa Grasso. Yeah.
Also gorgeous.
Yeah. Grasso looks like, she looked amazing.
She looked really great.
She looked great. She's crisp, man.
But out of the gate, too. I thought the other girl was winning, but then Grasso slowly worked her and kind of
turned that momentum for her.
Yeah.
And for a young fighter, too. I mean, she's what, like four fights in the UFC? Three fights in the UFC, something like that?
She's gorgeous. Aljamain Sterling.
Aljo. Can I tell you, man, I was thinking about when you had him on the podcast, when we had him on the podcast over at the Improv.
Yep.
Remember? And he was like a skinny young guy, like a boyish, you know, skinny boy. And this guy is a full-grown man.
Goddamn man.
Yeah. Oh, my. I was like, that is not the same guy we interviewed. Was it 3 years
ago?
I
think he was coming off a loss, too. So I think it was to Caraway or something.
And it was only like his second or third fight in the UFC.
Yeah, he wasn't that confident.
But, I mean, this guy?
This is the guy that they've been talking about shows up to the gym every practice.
But he also turns it on, I think, for the camera. Because when you hang out with him, he's not like...
No, but physically. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Physically, he's a man.
Yeah.
You know he has 19 brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
19.
Is he Nigerian, too?
Aljamain? I don't know. But
Jamaican.
Jamaican.
He's Jamaican.
On text chat, I go, I had Kelvin Gastelum go, and I thought I was Mexican. Yeah. Tatiana Suarez...
Tatiana, man. She's a fucking gangster.
You know, the girl who survived cancer, beat cancer, national champion wrestler, started wrestling when she was 4 years old.
Yeah.
4 years old, to put your daughter in wrestling, that's...
Paid off.
Yeah.
Paid off.
You know what though,
and she was injured, I think, too, going into the fight. Or she had a concussion or something.
But she still... Going in the third round, she did look a little gassed.
Well, the thing was, I felt the other girl finally figured out how to fight her and stay off her back in the third round.
Yeah.
If it had been a five rounder, it may have been different.
Right.
You know, like, I think she just figured it out too late.
Right.
But that other girl, though, also, you know, that's the other girl's really good. Her obviously the girlfriend of Nina
Ansaroff. Yeah. Nina Ansaroff.
And her girlfriend is the UFC champion. Amanda Nunes.
Right.
So you can't say that she wasn't prepared because Nunes is a fucking monster, you know? So,
she was just dominated like that in the first two rounds. I feel like she finally figured out how to not let that happen so much in the third. And actually, you know, I think on two of the scorecards, she won the third.
Yeah, she definitely won the third. But then again, if it was a five-round fight, maybe Tatiana would have trained differently or maybe paced herself. So you can't, you know.
It just seemed like she finally figured out how to stay on her feet and fight her fight in the third round. It's too late.
Blago Ivanov versus Tai Tuivasa. By the way, they didn't say this because I did the research for all these guys. Tai Tuivasa was a professional rugby player who quit playing rugby because he had a gambling problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, he had a sports gambling problem.
It's like nobody here is surprised. It's like, yeah, a guy who drinks out of people's shoes after his fights. Not surprised.
Yeah. Shoots the boot.
Yeah.
But Blago is a monster. It was funny the way also Cormier, who trained with him, was like so biased. But I thought he won. It was a weird fight. They both looked pretty gassed. towards the end.
I didn't see that one.
You didn't see that one? Peter Yan versus Rivera.
That one I saw.
Rivera, that's got to be so frustrating for him because he won 4 minutes and 50 seconds of the first two rounds. Like, he was winning.
Right, but then he would get almost knocked out right at the end.
Yeah, but the other guy's nickname was No Mercy. Like, why would you show him mercy? There's 10 seconds left, right? Like, it's like,
I know, he didn't want to finish the fight, huh? I feel like he could have finished Jimmy Rivera if he actually...
Really?
Yeah, I feel like he was like picking his shots too much, which is good, but if he was wailing on him...
He only had 10 seconds to finish him.
And I didn't feel Jimmy was definitively winning those rounds.
He was. I thought he was.
I didn't think so.
What did you think, Tyler?
I actually didn't see that film.
Okay. Oh. All right. Sorry. I didn't watch that one. Tony Ferguson versus Cerrone.
Oh, wait a minute. Really quick, because we do that one's going to take a lot of time. But when his coaches, Jimmy Rivera's coaches, were like, listen, make him knock you out.
That was the weirdest.
Go in there. And everyone was saying it was weird. But I kind of liked it. It was like, because everybody's saying you have to get the knockout. You can't. You have to go for it.
Right.
You know? And so they were saying you have to keep
But don't you think there was another way to say that? Like, just
I don't know,
the way
I feel
you said
like that was the way that he understood because he came out and fought that way and had a better round.
Yeah. He won the third round, I thought.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Absolutely. Because I feel like the coaching was right.
It was Tiger Shulman who said it, I think.
I don't know who they are.
You ever heard of Tiger Shulman's karate?
Yeah.
He trains over at the Tiger Shulman.
Really?
Yeah.
I probably knew that.
It's crazy I always thought Tiger Shulman was kind of a joke because they had like 7,000 Tiger Shulmans where it was where I'm like, this guy franchises name. I didn't realize how legit he was. I mean, he seems to be legit. Yeah. He's trained. They have a monster squad over there. But I didn't think. I didn't know Tiger. I just knew Tiger Shulman. I thought he was like some, like I don't know, Jewish karate guy or something. I guess he's legit. Tony Ferguson versus Cerrone.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
I was thinking about you, Tyler, during this fight.
Yes.
Because during the Al Aliquinta fight, we were like, I don't know. He always tends to, you know, fall apart when it's a step up. And I was like, but is this a step up? And it really wasn't. And he won that fight, right?
Right.
And then this one, I was like, okay, now this is a step up.
Yeah.
So is it going to happen for him? Because those are the fights that he tends to not do so great in.
Right.
And sure enough,
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I think he did great.
Tony Ferguson was getting tagged a lot.
And
his chin was straight up in the air.
Well, that's how he fights. He always fights like that.
I was going to say, he just ate him.
Don't you think eventually that luck's going to run out?
Well, we wonder.
Talk about your FaceTiming me right now.
We wonder why Tony Ferguson has been going through psychological issues. That fight is why Tony Ferguson has been going through psychological. I mean, yeah, he just gets punched in the fucking head. Every single fight he's in.
Which makes it so exciting to watch.
Yeah, it's awesome. But it's like, what's it doing to his brain?
Now, some people on the underground were saying that they thought Cerrone on purposely blew his nose to get out of the fight.
I don't think he would do that.
No.
They said he waited for he looked over, waited for around the start, knew if he blew his nose, I would blow up, and then he'd be... Because they said that a guy like that has had millions of fights. He knows the protocol. I don't think that...
Yes, you do know the protocol, but like, exactly. Heat of the moment, you can't breathe. If you've had your nose broken,
it looked like he was doing a farmer's blow.
Exactly.
Not like he was clamping it closed.
One of these.
Right.
And that's all it takes.
He was clamping it closed to force it into his sinus passages. He was trying to open his nasal passage.
That's what I think, too.
That's what it looked like, a good old-fashioned farmer blow.
Yeah. And you know it. You still take the chance.
It looked like he was trying to cut his own eye to reduce the swelling. That's what it looked like.
And it also looked like he didn't want the fight to be stopped, too.
No.
He's Cowboy.
Yeah. Like, Cowboy doesn't... He's going to fucking fight.
It looked like he was trying to relieve the swelling under his eye by, like pinching the blood out. That's what it looked like he was trying to do. Like, pop it like a fucking blood blister so it would reduce so he could fight. That's what it looked like he was trying to do. Because he saw the doctor coming and he kept squeezing it and squeezing it. And I was like, is he trying to pop it? Is that what he's trying... And that's what
probably
it looked like he was trying to do. Like, get the blood out of it.
Yeah.
Just make it cut, bleed, and then he could fight. But he didn't get it done in time. But I was like, what kind of tough motherfucker tries to fucking cut his own eye to keep fighting.
First time I ever met him. I just started doing MMA Roasted. I just started, and I go, hey, nice to meet you. He goes, roast me, and I'll fuck you up. And I go, all right, man, noted. And then he started laughing, and then I was like, I don't know. But then we became friends. He actually came to my show with his grandma the night before he was to fight Gastelum. The night before he shows up at my show, Gastelum doesn't make weight. Fight never happens. But I like Cowboy.
Yeah, he's like that kind of, like... I feel like he just likes to fuck around with people.
He's
and just be the nice.
Yeah,
like,
no, absolutely.
You look at him during the or before fights, he always wants to be... He's like the sportsman, you know? Like, we're not... There's no fucking bad blood. We just...
He's one of the only guys, though, that I ever, like, I'm not going to say what he said because you won't find it. But there's a couple fighters, him, that they came on the podcast and said some shit that I was like, this might get him in trouble. And I took it out.
Nice.
Without telling them, not even telling them, because I'm like,
this is a smart move.
Like, well, because I look at it two ways. I'm one, people are like, what kind of journalist are you? I'm not a journalist.
Exactly.
I'm not a reporter. And the guy's, I'm not paying the guy. He's doing me a favor by doing the show.
Totally.
So why?
And you don't want to damage your rep with other comics, right? Fighters.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I'm like, well, he probably would tell me to keep it in, but.
Yeah, he'd probably be like, fuck that shit, dude. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
there's been a couple times that's happened where I was like,
I wish I could go back and do that to my entire career.
That's the good thing about not going live sometimes.
So do you think they're going to do a rematch? I think they should do a rematch, but have a headline of like an ESPN Plus card, not a pay-per-view, because so it can be five rounds and not three.
Ferguson just looked like a Terminator.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
He looked like an indestructible Terminator. Talk about being back. That guy's back.
But he always, I mean, he looked like that in the Pettis fight, too. You know, like he was just fucking, that's what he does. It's how he fights. Even when he's getting hit and he's like running away or rolling away, it's always like.
Oh, okay. I knew he had to take a step away from the game for a minute.
Yeah, that guy.
But I thought he had injured his back or something.
No, he was supposed to fight one time, and he had sunglasses on and tripped on a wire indoor.
He was
going
to fight Khabib.
Supposed to fight Khabib. He had was wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, he tore his ACL.
The day before.
Tore his ACL.
Bad that happened to sideline him for a good little bit, like a year.
No, dude. He tore his ACL. He had surgery. He was out for 6 months.
He's also, remember he almost...
Yes.
Remember he almost fought...
6 months he came back and fought Anthony Pettis.
He's the fucking
animal.
Terminator.
Yes, he's an animal.
Remember he was going to fight Verdum that time? Like, they got into it, and he's like, I'm going to ankle pick you. And, like, he was serious.
Yeah.
And he probably
but
could.
But, like, who says that to a heavyweight, I'm going to ankle pick you?
Crazy-ass Tony Ferguson.
Plus, like, Verdum's, like, the best jiu-jitsu guy, like, ever. Why, you wouldn't even want to ankle pick that guy. I mean, you're going into his guard.
Hey, if you believe your jiu-jitsu, you know.
What's his name?
Tony the Tickler.
What did you say?
What's his actual nickname? What's his fighter? Does he
El Kukui.
El Kukui.
What does that mean, Kukui?
The boogeyman.
Yeah.
El Kukui is the boogeyman. Really? Yeah.
All right.
Baba
also,
Yaga.
El Kukui.
Also, Valentina Shevchenko. That was hard to watch.
She buzzsawed right through her, man.
I mean, what was crazy about that, I knew she was going to have the advantage on the feet, obviously. But I thought maybe Jessica's boxing, maybe she can keep a distance. But also on the ground, I mean, she just took picked her up
man.
And just threw her on her head.
And kept her flat on her back for
me,
4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Best kick, knockout.
Behind Ronda?
Behind the Ronda. Ronda from Holly Holm will always be number one to me, but that was a strong-ass number two. She went out straight-out crucifix.
I take this one over Ronda just because Ronda was already fucked up and exhausted when Holly Holm kicked her in the head. Like, she was kind of stumbling around, like,
she did kick
her
sideways.
Men and
women or just women?
Just women.
Oh, okay.
Just women.
Men and women, you got to go with that wheelbarrow
kick. Oh, Edson Barboza, sure, yeah. Spinning wheel kick, Terry Adam. Yeah,
that was,
absolutely.
And you know it's bad when the camera doesn't even go to the person on the ground for, like, 2 minutes straight? Remember they just had it focused on the guy in the back's like, don't cut to Jessica, don't cut to Jessica.
Right,
don't do it.
Well, and they're even saying, she's still out there. Yeah. The doctors are attending to her.
Like, motionless, too.
Oh, I actually
well, because her head hit the canvas so hard.
Yeah. I actually missed it. I drove back from Vegas that day, and I had to go to the two shows at the Ice House and write text from last fight, and I was watching it on my phone. Got up to get like a coffee, came back, and then like sort of stand. So I missed that kick, but knowing how I'm like friends with Jessica, I am happy I didn't see that. I didn't want to see that.
Yeah. It was brutal.
Have you watched it?
Yeah, like, but a lot of times
it's different.
But a lot of times, like when you miss the knockout because you're not paying attention, I'm like, fuck, why am I not paying that one? I was like,
that's all right.
I texted her.
It was pretty spectacular.
I didn't know what to say to her.
Spectacular.
I texted her, I'm like, hope you're okay. Keep it up. Keep your spirits up. And she was like, thank you, blah, blah, blah. She's like, it just, it's devastating. And I was like, when I'm down, I like to have ice cream and cookies. So I was like, that's really like, that's an honest answer.
Dude, she's a sugar freak, too. She's a candy freak.
Okay. Maybe.
She loves candy.
I don't know. Just,
what do you say to someone? This guy kicked in the fuck. I mean, I do ice cream and cookies.
Smoke some weed and drink your fucking face off. That's what you do.
Exactly.
That's what I did.
I don't know.
Probably not the best idea.
Need this dick. I'm kidding. Just joking.
You don't think ice cream and cookies is the way to.
I don't know. It's just such a. I mean, is that the text you want to see? Fuck you, Adam.
She liked it. She put a heart next to it.
Okay.
See? She loved it.
Did she? She
I don't know.
She did. She seemed in really good spirits. She put out like a little Instagram thing the next day, and she seemed in really good spirits. Like she had come back, and like it wasn't about the loss anymore. She was like, "Hey, you caught me with a fucking spectacular," which it was. Like I watched it 20 times. You cannot see that kick. You can't see it.
Is that how long it took
it
you to
just
come?
Just hits.
Why can't you see it?
It came a couple minutes later, but
why can't you see it?
I'm just saying, like, watch it. When you watch, like, you see the kick hit her head, but watch the actual sequence of her backing up, and it's like her foot's on the ground, and then it's in the air crossing her head. Like, it just...
Oh, he's saying it's
like it was so fucking fast.
Yeah.
And she had set it up so beautiful with the body kicks that, like... Just that little flinch of her hip knew, like, all right, fuck, that body kick's coming, and it was already too, like,
hanging right there.
By the time she was reacting, she was getting hit in the head already. Yeah. It was just like, fucking Valentina Shevchenko is...
She's dangerous.
She is.
Yeah, dude. She was dangerous at 135.
Murderer.
Yeah. And she walked around like a cold-blooded murderer too afterwards.
It's her dancing.
Like, she just seemed...
Just emotionless.
Totally just like, okay, great fight. Thank you.
She did a little hop over and was like...
She's very sweet. Cool. We had her on the podcast before. She's super cool.
I love her.
Yeah, she like all her interviews, everything.
She moved to number two behind Holly for me. It was pretty sexy, you know, that kind of a knockout.
She's way hotter than Holly, though.
Not for me. I love Holly.
Really?
Yeah.
He loves Holly. Jess is still my number one.
Cerruto versus Marlon Moraes. That was surprising.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, that first round, I'm like, okay, there's a difference in levels. There's levels to this.
Yeah,
you know, going up in a weight, this and that. And then Cerruto just won me over with his, like, just grit.
It was the Muay Thai clinch. It was the clinch. It was the strangest thing that Moraes couldn't get out of it. Like, he would just sit there and get kneed to death.
Because he was not
many times. He did it, like, 5-6 times.
There, like, my theory behind that also is that's a full Muay Thai plum from a Olympic gold medalist wrestler.
Right.
So he's holding on to you. You're not fucking... He's not letting go.
Dude, yeah. He showed this little wrestling move, this little, like trick wrestling move that, like... Looked so easy.
Yeah.
And then I showed the kids, and I looked like I was an 80-year-old. Like, I couldn't. I was
yeah,
like,
you're like, how? Like, wait,
he does
what?
Things so slick. He makes things look so easy.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you think
this is a big problem with... Because I noticed this with Moraes. His last, like, five fights all ended in, like, a minute. So you think it's a big problem sending him to have a title fight that could possibly be five rounds? We never really got to see his full gas tank and what he's capable of. Because didn't he just gas in the end?
I think also, like, the you know, he's probably... Looking at this guy's fights, he's probably training for wrestling, and he's training for, like, volume. But he probably was not training for that Muay Thai clinch because he's never done it before.
I was amazed. And even the commentators were like, he really is stuck in that. And he did it to him a bunch.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there was no point where he began to figure it out.
Right.
He just kept having it done to him.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, even if he's doing all the right things, like... If someone like that is holding on to you, especially holding on to your head, like, your body goes where your head goes. So he moves an inch to the left, and, like, your body's flinging around.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's fucking tough to get out of a real clinch.
The one thing I thought was the most interesting thing about the entire fight was the commentary of Moraes, his coach, between, I think it was the first and second round or the second and third round. Now, on Cejudo's side, they're coaching him up, but on Mariah's side, he's like, think of your mom. Think of all the work she had to do, everything he had to go through. And I'm like, is this the time for that message?
You have to fight hard. Like fucking like, tell me how.
Exactly. Like, I feel like you need to be telling him how to get out of that Muay Thai clinch right now instead of just telling him to think about his poor mom and all the houses she had to clean or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like... I was like, is this... And I was interested. When he said that, I was so interested to see if this was going to change the fight.
Right.
If he was going to come out a different fighter. And instead, that's when the fight really turned against him.
You don't think maybe his mom put him in a Muay Thai clinch?
About your mom. Remember when she used to beat the shit out of you when you were a kid?
She put you in that club and you couldn't get out of it, even though you were 12. Like, I hate it, Mom. Why? Like, I mean, I just... That to me was the most interesting thing about that fight was that speech and the way that speech failed.
It was more like a Hallmark commercial. Like, think of your mom. Like, Mother's Day is coming up. Like,
how about Sherry's Berries?
Yeah.
You know, like, this fight's brought to you by Sherry's Berries. Like,
it's crazy.
So who in that division poses a threat to Cejudo now?
At 135?
Yeah.
I mean, Aljamain.
He'd be the next one, right?
I think so, right?
Like, I way mean, too early to call.
I mean,
he
was calling out Uriah Faber, who just retired and unretired.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a little strange.
And has a fight. I mean, why not call out? Yeah. So, like, why are you, like, I mean, who knows what's going to happen from
yeah,
that
wait
fight?
Wait to see if he wins that. See how he looks in that fight before you go, I mean, you're the champ.
Yeah. I know.
He's I mean, like, that's why he's the king of cringe, you
and
know?
He's like, and you, Jens Pulver. Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at you. Like,
okay. Just reaching back in time.
Yeah, he's like, Gary Goodrich. You know, fucking, like, so, yeah, it was a little strange. Keith Hackney, I got your number. So.
Who do you think would win between him and Aljamain?
I mean, you got to think. Who advantage in wrestling? I mean,
yeah, wrestling advantage obviously goes to Cejudo, but Aljo's he's good, but he's not Olympic gold.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, gold, you got to go wrestler. With speed. Maybe Aljamain.
Aljo, yeah.
Length.
Length.
He has no, to. He sure. Get, like he if has, he if so he fights taller. It smart, right? Exactly. If he does it like he did with Munoz, yeah. Where he's just gonna like pick you apart and fucking throw teeps and
but
head kicks.
But that's also
and all that
Aljamain
shit,
after his best performance ever. Like if you yeah. The Aljamain that fought Brian Caraway or that fought some of the other guys. I think
he could wear him down. I think he could wear Aljamain down. Take some of that sparkle out of his game, some of the fireworks, and
that's a good question.
We'll see. I mean, he's probably gonna. If it's not this one, it'll be the next one. So. We'll probably
get you watch the PFL?
Didn't.
Vinny Magalhaes lost.
Oh, poor Vinny.
Got stopped in two by this guy, Emiliano Sordi. Ishii won. Jared Rothschild got knocked out. A lot of the UFC guys were getting killed. Jared Rothschild
lost.
See,
and that's what I was saying before. Like, these guys that leave the UFC, whether the UFC lets them go, like, if they're in contract negotiations or whatever, and the UFC's just like, we're good. Like, we're not going to pay you this, and they go somewhere else. A lot of them, they just end up fizzling out.
Also, like, Dana White actually said that. They're like, why did you let go of Elias Theodoro and the other guy?
Yeah.
And well, he said, listen, we want guys that could be contenders in top five.
Right.
He goes, and which, not necessarily, a lot of guys he keeps are not contenders or top five guys, but he says, look at the guys we let go. Have any of them ever
right. Have
great?
They done anything afterwards? Which 90% of them have not.
I mean, Ryan Bader.
Ryan Bader might be the only one. Rory.
I was gonna say Rory.
But like even yeah. Rory, like he's looking okay. He doesn't look like he did when he was in the UFC.
Well, Anthony Johnson they let go and then he came back and was a stud.
Look at Artem Lobov. He's about to be the fucking champion of bare knuckle boxing.
Yes.
He's about to beat Paulie Malignaggi.
I think he might beat Paulie.
I think he might. I think he might just tough him out, just grit it out. And
well, Paulie's not like a knockout artist. He doesn't hit that hard.
Yeah, but you don't need to hit that hard with bare knuckles.
Anything that builds up the Artem like meme of him being the GOAT, I just want to have
that. Yeah, exactly.
I just want him to be
the saying it's not bare knuckles anymore. It's like gloves with the knuckles cut out or something, or it's wraps.
Wraps. They do wear wraps.
Yeah.
A lot of them wear wraps.
Right? It's on the wrists.
Or like around the wrist and like one layer over there so like the skin doesn't rub off.
So speaking of Bellator though, this week, Rory McDonald, Neiman Gracie.
There we go. Ooh, I like that fight. I love that fight.
Neiman Gracie beat Ed Ruth, 9-0, amazing jiu-jitsu. Rory, after his last fight, was saying that Jesus didn't want him to fight anymore or something. It was just got a little strange.
Oh, that's right.
Doesn't
that
want him to hurt people.
Weird.
Yeah.
The like, Lord was talking to me during the fight.
God
and,
told me to stop fighting or something. Yeah.
That's what a woman will do to you, dude. Again,
huh? A woman, you think?
That's what a woman. That's his wife. That's it has to be all of his wife, right?
Jesus?
They get married. They have a kid. And she's
he
like.
He was always really weird, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a religious freak, though?
No.
Not religious.
He wasn't religious. He was like, he was religious without actually being religious. He was everything that entails being a religious person without the religion.
There are certain guys that I think if they hadn't found MMA, like Josh Barnett. I love Josh, but you talk to Josh.
He's weird, man.
It's just like he has those eyes, just those dead eyes of like, this dude I think could murder you. Like he has the Dexter eyes. Yeah. And Rory has that too. Or
right, he does, yeah.
Like, I'm like, thank God he's
there's just
fighting.
Blackness behind
because
those eyes.
There'd be a trail of bodies somewhere.
Yeah.
Which they still might be.
Right.
Leona Machida versus Chael Sonnen this Saturday.
Oh my God, it's a great card.
Yeah.
I mean, not
in
like...
In what year?
You know.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, dude...
Because you're right, you know, in 2012, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. You know, that's...
Yeah.
Look, there's still... I mean, it's two legends. I'm still going to watch it.
Of course.
I want to watch it. I want to see
and
who
you know,
wins.
And the thing
but,
is, I still like watching Lyoto Machida. I don't like watching Chael Sonnen anymore. It's just like, come on.
I like listening to Chael.
Lost a little bit of the pep in his step, though.
That's
like,
true.
He's on steroids.
Such a bipolar fighter.
He's a bipolar fighter, but even like at this point, like his trash talk, you can tell he's tired. He's like, ugh, you suck. Brazil is trash. You know?
Also, he has his own podcast, right? So before podcasts, he would save it all up.
Right.
I bet if you listen to his podcast, you'll probably get so much of his trash talk, you know? But it seems like a lot of times now people are like, you know, as a comic, sometimes I do comedy and people are like, dude, I love your show, man. I'm like you have jokes. Every time I go to someone's podcast, they just tell the same stories they told on the podcast.
Yeah.
And
shit.
That's what a lot of people are doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's rough.
Look, hey, you know.
That's rough.
You got, you know. So Dylan Danis is taking on 3-2 Max Humphrey. Dylan Danis, I hope he wins because I actually like the fact that like he just writes whatever Connor writes and everyone tells him how much he sucks. Yeah. And then like it goes back and forth.
Hey, you know what? He's getting paid. He's winning fights using jiu-jitsu, which I love. And whatever. Good on him.
This is the second
I
fight,
have no
though,
hate
right?
for Dylan Danis.
Yeah. He won by a heel. No,
heel hook.
No, was
no,
it a heel
hook?
It was
a toe
hold.
Yeah,
yeah,
toe it was hold. A toe hold.
Ricky Bandejas taking on Patrick Mix. Patrick Mix 10-0. Bandejas is 11-1.
Ricky Bandejas. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Who is that guy?
Wasn't he in the UFC?
I don't know. If he was 11-1, probably not. Juan Archuleta. Was he the guy that knocked? Wait, was Ricky Bandejas the guy that knocked out the guy from Ireland that talked a lot of shit? Remember that guy? Remember the guy that was like the second coming of McGregor?
Storm and Norman?
No.
Joe Duffy?
No.
No. Gallagher.
Yeah, James Gallagher.
James Gallagher.
Was he the guy that knocked out Gallagher? He was.
What's
the
name?
Ricky Bandejas.
That might be him. He's Mexican.
He's awesome.
Very young.
He hit him with like the Shawn Michaels kick, that like Shawn Michaels. Remember Shawn Michaels?
The sweet chin music.
Yeah. He hit him with that.
Why do I know?
And Juan Archuleta, who's awesome, 22-1.
Hell yeah, dude.
He's fighting Eduardo Dantas.
Oh, he just lost to Juan Archuleta. Ricky Bandejas.
Oh, okay. That should be a good fight. And Haraguchi is fighting Caldwell. Haraguchi.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a rematch.
I like that fight.
Haraguchi beat him in Ryzen.
He did beat him in Ryzen, and I think Caldwell's coming back with a vengeance.
Caldwell is a guy that, like, sometimes there are guys that they have to lose to look that much better their next fight. Mm. It's like they're so good that they don't...
Exactly. They forget, like, that they can lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was training this week. He was down this weekend in San Diego with his team, training with a guy from up here, Rod, I'm blanking on his last name. Killer Muay Thai coach. He was like Ruben Duran's striking
Roger
coach.
Rod. Yeah. Roger Rod.
Yeah, exactly.
Roger Waters.
It's not Armstrong. I'm blanking on his name. But Crew Rod, he's fucking awesome. He's in the South Bay. Like, if he gave him some little tricks, I'm very excited to see what he pulls out of the bag.
You know, he lost. Brett Metcalf was like the college wrestler. Like, he was the bully. He was like the guy, and he beat, you know, Bubba Jenkins 7 out of 8 times, and Bubba Jenkins beat, you know, Jordan Burroughs in wrestling and all these guys. So Metcalf tech-falled Caldwell. Then they went into the final
Rod
match.
Rod McVicker, sorry.
They went into the final match, and he hit a head and arm on him to open the match in the finals of NCAAs and beat the shit out of Brett Metcalf, who teched him earlier in the season. And
that's when he did the fucking...
backflips. And then the guy just ran into him, and he went like 10 feet in the air, like he just while he's in the air. And then I was like, dude, when he went into MMA, I was so excited. He doesn't get the props that he deserves, and I think it's because of the losses that like he should win. But then again, Horiguchi is a monster. By the way, Aaron Pico is fighting again.
Ooh.
Against 12-0 Adam Barks. Aaron Pico needs a smart fighter. Fight smarter. Smart fighter.
He needs a smart fighter.
He needs to fight smarter.
You're a fart smeller.
I mean, he is a fart smeller.
He needs to fight smarter. There's a guy who does not use his wrestling, wants to be a boxer, gets knocked out, and his wrestling credentials are so high. Heather Hardy, super hot boxer. Hot boxer. Was a good boxer. She's fighting. And then this other girl, Valerie Loretta. You know who that girl is?
Valerie Loretta?
You got to see this girl. She is...
No.
A smoke show and a half.
Wow.
In fact, Luke Rockhold went into her DMs and like kind of like said like put down her team, American Top Team, and then she's like she kind of dissed him, but she sort of called him Love earlier. Like he was like, great fight. She's like, thanks, Love.
And then he was like, what are you doing later or something? And she's like, sorry, you insulted my team. And then Masvidal posted it just to be a dick to the girls. But you got to see this girl's Instagram. You got to see this girl's butt.
Yes.
Valerie.
I am looking right now.
Yeah, she might have the nicest ass.
She is gorgeous.
In MMA.
Let me see. Whoa.
Yeah, you got Greg.
She's like a Mexican weather girl.
Oh, boy.
Hey, my.
But you got to see some
Taekwondo.
Of the pictures.
Is she like a Taekwondo black belt or so? Holy God.
Yeah, what is that? Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Very nice.
That's the sexiest a Taekwondo gi has ever looked.
Yeah, ever.
It's never looked that sexy.
Let her choke my lapel. Yeah.
Let her what?
I don't know. I was saying something about choking and lapels.
Do anything.
Yeah.
That's a great Bellator card, dude.
Yeah.
That's a great card. Yeah. How come the only time I watch Bellator, it's the same fighters, like, every single time?
So
same Bellator.
You know what's funny? I realize, like, every UFC I go to, it's like we go to the same ones every year, and it's always the same people. Like, we've seen Robbie Lawler 4 times. I've seen, like, Brian Ortega 3 times. Like, it's always the same guys on every card.
Yeah.
So they must have some kind of algorithm or some rotation that they just like, all right, it's been 6 months. Okay, you get one.
Yeah.
Right.
At least for the littler, you know, the regulars, the regular Joes.
So what do you got coming up?
I don't know.
Really?
Probably be at the hospital. Let me look at the calendar. Because the thing is, if I don't put it in the calendar, it doesn't exist.
Right.
And once it's in the calendar, I don't think about it again.
Yeah.
Until the calendar says, hey, you got to go do this thing. I'm like, oh, shit, I have a show tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly. I have shit. It'll be like the next day, and I'm like the whole week, like, oh, I don't know. What should I do tomorrow? Yeah. And then I look, oh, fuck, I have a birthday party to go to. Or, oh, like.
Oh, I'm going to be at the Federal Bar in North Hollywood on Wednesday.
Nice.
And then this weekend, I'll probably be at the HaHa on Friday. And then next weekend, I'll be in Vegas just kind of partying the 21st and 23rd. It's actually kind of a corporate gig. It's those lawyers that paid me to
go to the
Dominican Republic. They're paying me now to go party with them.
Even do comedy?
Nice.
Just to party with them?
They're paying you just to hang out. How do you get that fucking job?
The greatest job ever.
I'm the best hangout buddy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Yeah. I'll go fucking drink, blackout, do drugs. Just pay me.
What do you think I'm doing?
I know. That's why I'll do it.
If
anybody wants to pay me and Greg to come hang out with you.
I mean, I do some.
We'll gladly do it.
It's usually like I usually do some little show at some point at a bar or something. And
are you honest with your new wife? Are you going to be like, I'm going to go party in Vegas? Or are you going to be like, I'm sorry, babe. I'm sorry. I have to leave. It's going to suck. I want to wait for work.
My wife puts up with this. I love it.
Up with it. She just doesn't. She knows who she married.
She, yeah.
In fact, she knows it's necessary for me to go do that.
It's like we got to make money somehow.
After being like your friend for 20 years, I probably could use breaks from you. Also,
Exactly. Can you imagine living with me? Yes, go be a wild man over there and come back and be normal again.
Yeah.
Because I can only really keep it in for about 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
Before the Tasmanian devil's got to fucking come out.
Yeah.
It's like me with stand-up. If I don't do stand-up comedy at night, like for a couple days, it comes out during the day.
Yeah.
On people that don't want to hear it. Like,
right. Like, yeah.
And then I'm just an asshole. Like, yeah.
Maybe I need to start doing jokes.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of a dick during the day to people.
You know who's doing comedy? Uncle Creepy's doing comedy.
Nice.
Yeah. He like texted me.
Nice. Is he he's retired, right? Or
he's
is
retired,
he?
Retired, yeah.
Yeah. From fighting.
Not from comedy.
Not from comedy. Let's go, Uncle Creepy.
I like that guy. What do you got coming up, Tyler?
I got a birthday camping, dirt biking, fishing trip coming up this weekend, which is going to be fucking awesome. I can't wait to go.
That sounds
like anything that like people can see.
It sounds awesome.
You guys can come camping and dirt biking and fishing. I'll be in Bishop from Friday to
Don't
Sunday.
Don't say that.
Bring the weed.
What are the coordinates?
Just bring weed and booze. June 22nd, 23rd, I may be competing. I'm still debating it. I like to wait till the very last minute to decide if I'm going to do jiu-jitsu tournaments. Other than that, just covering classes here and there at Braxton's and my gym Revolution. You can visit me on Instagram, SmithrowBJJ, or Twitter, Smithrow39. I'll start putting out tweets. Apparently, people want to hear my tweets, so I'll start
Yes.
Bringing that asshole to the internet. I'll bring that asshole to the internet. So people put it in public.
You're not an asshole. You're honestly one of the coolest people I've ever met.
Oh, actually, I forgot to mention, I actually have a big tour starting in July.
Yes. Wow.
And I probably should mention that.
Why don't you tell
us? I don't know.
I'm just sitting around talking about nothing. It just dawned on me later. I've got a tour starting.
I mean, it's only next month.
Yeah, exactly.
So where?
Starting July 9th, it's called, it's the Fantasy Meets Reality Comedy Tour, where me and Adam Rank from the NFL Fantasy Live show on the NFL Network.
Cool.
He and I are going to be going, we started the Orlando Improv on July 9th, Tampa Improv July 10th, then we'll be going to Phoenix and doing CB Live, and then we'll go do Beats Kitchen Chicago, we're going to do Kansas City Improv, Denver Improv, Cleveland Funny Bone, Cincinnati Funny Bone, Columbus Funny Bone, and Cleveland Hilarities.
Wow.
We're also doing Oxnard and Irvine.
Now, are you doing stand-up at these places?
Yes, we're doing stand-up. Both it's half stand-up show and then half fantasy football Q&A with the audience. So it's the audience's chance to come and ask Adam Rank actual fantasy football questions as we head into fantasy football season. So go to my website, gregromerowilson.com, to see all the tour dates.
Joe.
Yeah, man. Releasing a new podcast this week, like a whole new like podcast.
No more Ween Dog?
What's it called?
No, I'm doing that too. Okay. It's like a creepy podcast, a spooky podcast.
The Creeper podcast.
Wait a minute. Then what is Ween Dog?
That's like, I just talk about UFC on that podcast.
Man, you're pretty creepy.
Yeah, but this one is like,
but
telling,
this is
like
just pure creepy.
Like horror. It's like a horror podcast.
Right, okay.
I haven't decided
so
the name.
It's not like your sex life, it's just horror stuff.
No, it's just like, you know, I think I'm going to call it Spookville or something.
Yeah.
Spook. Spookcast. Hinato said that's racist. Hinato said that's like a racist term.
Hinato said calling people spooks is racist.
Call a black person a spook.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Is that true?
Which it is.
Yes.
I've never heard a black person be called a spook.
You don't hear it so much anymore
kind of
for good reason. Yeah.
1950s.
Yeah, it is. No, yeah, it's kind of like a 1950s era insult. Okay. You know, like spade and, you know, there's a few of those.
Kai Keep, all those good ones.
But spook was right in there.
Okay.
So, but it is one of those things that I think right with the right logo, it's clear it's about horror.
If there's like the little Snapchat ghost, like,
I think it'll be clear that it's a horror podcast as opposed to, you know, a racist podcast.
Right.
Also, you know,
Hinato. So, okay, that's it.
That's it. Follow me on Instagram at the Ween Dog, theweendawg.
And of course, his racist podcast is going to be called Horror.
Yeah.
Cast.org.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night Sunday, I'm at the Comedy Cave in Calgary. If you're in Calgary, come see me at the Comedy Cave. I'm at the Minnesota House of Comedy, June 19th to the 23rd. Minnesota House of Comedy at the Mall of America. I'm in Vegas, Fight Week, UFC Fight Week at the Stratosphere in Vegas. Then July 18th to the 21st, I'm at the Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida. July 26th, I'm at the San Jose Theater with Russell Peters. I'm at the MGM in Maryland with Russell Peters in August. August 21st to the 24th, the Looney Bin in Little Rock. And September 1st, the Palms in Las Vegas. And September 4th to the 8th, Edmonton at the Comic Strip. Also, I have a new podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, everything called Daddy Issues. It's all about me being a dad and Dean McDermott, who's married to Tori Spelling. He's got 6 kids. Nikki Paris, super funny guy. So check it out. The first one dropped today. The next week we have Tori Spelling on the show. And then the third week we have Perez Hilton. It's a good show.
Whoa, dude.
So
that's
check
crazy.
It out. It's fun. And thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast.
Traps, sons, and traps, don't trap. Tune it, sons, to hook them, dorpola. Dad, stolt, and dorpola, moro, da.